Just have to check I've got all of the, haven't done any of the like rookie mistakes, like my flies are undone or haven't got toilet paper on my shoe. I'm fine. I'm all right. I'm ready. Okay, so for those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Liz Fielding. I'm married to Chris, who was leading worship, and I've got two girls, Izzy and Phoebe. And God brought us to Rugeley from Watford 5 years ago now, was it? 5 years ago. And we didn't want to be in Rugeley. We thought we were just passing through. We didn't want to stay. We thought it was horrible. We didn't like the power station. We wanted to be out to a big city. But through a very long story, which I'm sure you've heard lots of, I'm sure you've heard before, God brought us to Rugeley to be part of this church. And this is where our home is. And he's blessed us so much with house and friends and really fitting in and being part of the church. So the church is really what makes us tick, what makes us live. And what gets me excited about leadership is that our leadership team have been learning about and talking about kingdom culture. And my dream, you know, we were talking about dreams before and putting them up on the board, and my dream is that Rugeley Community Church will be known for being an open, honest community of believers who are genuine and who have integrity, who trust each other enough to share their hopes and dreams, their struggles and successes, in the knowledge that they will be cared for and encouraged and always have people think the best of each other. And we need each other to grow well. I really think it's important to be real in who we are. And we live in like the social media Facebook culture where it's always about putting the best of you on and everyone looks like they're having a fab time and everything's brilliant and amazing. And it can make a lot of people feel as if they're not so good. Why aren't I as good as these people? Why am I not as good as these people? Why doesn't my life look like this perfect Facebook image? And I don't think that there's anyone who really does have a perfect life. And I think it's really, really important that we're real with each other and that we are able to be genuine and have integrity so that we can create a community where we all love and trust each other and we're not spending time thinking, oh, they're better than me or I'm not as good as them, whatever. So how do we do that? How do we create a culture and prepare for growth? This dream church community where everyone cares for each other, loves each other, is the best environment for new Christians to join. It attracts others to us, somewhere where they can be loved and be discipled. And when we first got this building, I can remember looking at it and thinking, God, how on earth are we going to fill this? What are we going to do with this? We're such a small church, and you've given us such a massive building. I know that you're a God who can do amazing things, but I really don't see it. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, there's a massive harvest. So I've given you a massive storehouse. And when I look at it like that, I thought, well, yeah, if we haven't got a very big harvest, he maybe would have given us a small barn that would fit like a small harvest of people in. But he's given this massive barn because he's promising us to have a massive harvest of Rugeley. And when I looked at it like that, rather than thinking, oh gosh, how on earth are we going to fill that? I thought, oh, we've got such a big barn because we'll need somewhere that will house so many new Christians and so many people when our church grows. But we don't want to just grow massively. We want to grow well. We want to grow big people who are spirit-filled, who love each other, who know God, who are being discipled, not just numbers, numbers, numbers. So at the moment, I'd say we're a bit like a little sapling. Well, maybe no. Chris said we're not a little sapling. When I went through this before, he's like, we're not little, we're just a sapling. But we're a healthy sapling. Grow it. We want to know how to grow well. So I don't know if you've heard of the Eastgate Living Fire, course, that we've gone on as a leadership team. But that is what we have been learning. We have been learning about creating a heavenly culture for healthy growth. and to grow our little sapling into a great big mature healthy tree, we need good soil, so that's a heavenly culture. We need to nurture and protect each other, so that's genuine love and care for each other. We need to nourish and prune, so that's good spirit-filled teaching and leading. And that will help us not only to grow in numbers, but to grow spiritually and to be strong and healthy. So how do we create this heavenly culture? Well, the obvious thing is the Bible. So let's go to that. It's obviously filled with a lot of great stuff, but I want to focus particularly on two passages. One of them is Ephesians 4, 11 to 16, and the other one is 1 Corinthians 12, 27 to 31. And we studied these at Eastgate, and God really spoke to me through those particular passages and what the different people on the course were saying. And that kind of inspired me into how we're going to create a heavenly culture. So I'm just going to read those out, and we'll go through those. So Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together, but every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And there are a couple of bits that stuck out to me. So Christ gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers to equip his people. Well, who are his people? That's us as the church. So that we would all reach unity in the faith and unity in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So what are these works of service? They're building up the body, their unity in faith, their knowledge, and becoming mature. And 1 Corinthians 12, 27, 31. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you has its part to do. And God has placed in church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. So you can see from these two particular passages that God has a planned structure for his church, and each of us here have unique giftings which interact with each other to create a unified church. Now, when we read through those passages in Eastgate, one thing that really bugged me was we were talking about creating a healthy culture that was non-hierarchical, but then at the same time we were reading from the Bible that said first apostles, second prophets, etc., etc. And I was thinking, how on earth do you have not a hierarchy, but you still have people who are first and second and have different places? And the Holy Spirit gave me a picture, and that's what I want to sort of really focus on this morning, of the church structure being like a coffee machine or coffee manufacturing. And you can see that I love coffee, so the Holy Spirit was obviously speaking to me particularly about this, but I wanted to share it with you because when I shared it with the guys on the leadership team, they were like, oh, that's a really good way of seeing it. So I'm going to move on to my little picture of the coffee manufacturer. So if you have a look, you've got that way. The coffee beans go into the big funnel, okay? and then they come out of the funnel and they get roasted and ground in the roasting grounding bit. That's probably a technical term. Then you've got people who know all about the coffee. They're like the coffee geeks, and they're the ones that know how long to grind it for, they know how long to roast it for, they know the best temperatures, and they know how to then make the coffee. And then you've got the people who do all the sort of distribution. So they collect the ground up coffee and they put it in bags, and they make sure that they've got easy to carry bags, and that it's easy for people to distribute and have. And then you've got the people who actually market the coffee and take it out to people. Okay, bear with me. And I felt that the Holy Spirit was telling me that this fivefold ministry that's mentioned in Ephesians, the apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists, was like this coffee manufacturing process. So, the hopper that collects the coffee beans is like, imagine that the coffee beans are the Holy Spirit. The coffee beans are the kingdom of God and the heavenly flow that comes from heaven. And they, you need to have that hopper kind of directing everything down, collecting what's coming from heaven and directing it down to the apostolic anointing of the different people. So I had a look at what the dictionary definition was of apostle, and it's a vigorous pioneering advocate or supporter of an idea or policy or cause. And the Bible definition is one who is sent out. And I was reading somewhere that the Roman emperor would send out apostles to bring Roman culture to the new lands that they'd conquered, so that when the emperor came to the new lands that they conquered, they would feel as if they were in Rome. And that's what we want to do. We want to bring the kingdom so that when God comes, he feels this is his home. So today, apostles are bringing God's kingdom to earth, and they're tuned in to heaven's purposes. And then you've got the... Let's move it. Then you've got the apostolic sort of hopper sending all the beans down into the prophetic. So I just really wanted to put that picture up because I thought it looked quite good. And it definitely, I'm actually not drinking coffee at the moment, so it was like looking at all these pictures of coffee beans. I'm just not having caffeine for Lent. That's why. So the apostolic, the coffee coming through, and going into the prophetic, and the prophetic grinds the coffee and roasts it. It brings out the flavor of heaven. It releases the potential. It calls out the hidden gold and treasure in each of us. And then we move on to the teachers. The teachers are ones that know, really, they are the geeks, the coffee geeks. They want to know everything. They want to know the background. They want to know what the best coffee is. They want to know what's the perfect way to do it. So they want to know what the coffee is, but then as teachers, they want to know, who is God? Why is he important? The Old and New Testament history, what does it mean for us today? Biblical wisdom for our lives, and the Spirit guiding the teacher to bring the right word of instruction at the right time. And then you've got my favourite, which is pastoral. That's only because I'm pastoral. It's not because it's particularly the best or anything. The pastoral are the people that make things happen. You've got all the input from heaven, and you've got the information and knowledge from the teachers, but then the pastoral are the people who take it out and make it actually physically happen. So they care about the people. They take the coffee, they put it in bags, they make sure that everybody can get some, they find out who needs it, what their requirements are. They care about actually getting the heavenly culture to the people, loving the people. And they might run a coffee making connect group. And then you've got the last of the five that we're going to talk about, and that's the evangelists. They're the marketing team. They're the ones that go out and tell everybody, our coffee's amazing, it's so great, you've got to have some, come and try some. They have conversations with people on the street, they bump into people on the bus, they're just always about going out and telling people about how brilliant the coffee is, or telling people how brilliant God is, and bringing them in and drawing them in so that we can grow in numbers. Now that really helped me to see how you can have a structure that has to have a particular flow, but without it being a hierarchy. So usually we see the hierarchy as like you've got the leaders at the top, and then sort of slightly lesser leaders, and then kind of just people at the bottom. Whereas what we were learning is that instead of having a power kind of power structure, we've got all the power at the top and then they tell the people what to do. It's a flow where you've got the heavenly input at one side, and yet every single part of the church needs everyone else. If there was a piece missing, it wouldn't work as well. So each ministry needs the other four to be effective. If you don't have any apostolic or prophetic input, then the teaching just becomes theory. The pastoral people can just burn out because they're not doing it out of a heavenly input. The evangelists would see less people being saved because it would just be their kind of clever knowledge or whatever. It wouldn't be fueled by the Spirit. So if you didn't have that hopper bringing the coffee beans in, then you could know about coffee. You could tell people about them, but you wouldn't have anything to drink. There'd be no substance to it. So that helped me to see that you need that heavenly input so that it fuels the rest of the ministries. And if we don't have that, we'll have cut the fire and the power of God out of our church. And the other ministries, all of them, can't function effectively if one of the others is missing. Without teachers, without teachers, we could all just go with our own preferences, and that would just lead to kind of everyone doing what they wanted. Without pastors, we'd lose our warmth and love for one another. And without evangelists, we'd have no new believers, and then we wouldn't have any growth. And this structure, with the five ministries, is a base for all the other gifts mentioned in Corinthians 12. So the miracles, the healings, the tongues, the interpretation. Without having that structure, those things don't find a place to fit in. But with the structure of the apostolic and the prophetic, and then the other three, teaching, pastoral, and evangelists, once you've got all that in place and all flowing properly, you can then fit miracles, healings, tongues, interpretations, and they'll be in their rightful place. So, non-hierarchical leadership. This structure is not a hierarchy, but it still has an order. The position of the roles is important. Instead of having a cascade of power from the top to the bottom, it has a flow of responsibility from one side to the other. We all need each other to function in this model, and no one is more worthy than the other. And I just want to stress that we don't have five specific roles that five specific people have to fill. These different roles and ministries cross over, and we can all have a measure of these different gifts. So not all are apostles, but we can all be apostolic. And not all are pastors, but we can all be pastoral. Not all are prophets, but we can all be prophetic people. And I just want to encourage you with that and mention a few people who actually are in those positions right now. So our apostolic input is from Eastgate, from Pete and Kim Carter, who lead Eastgate, from Tony and Kay Smith, Dave and Julie Connolly, who came last week, and Tony and Ursula Wastel. And then prophetic. We are a prophetic people, aren't we? We've got loads of prophetic words that have been spoken over us. We've had lots of different prophetic words over the years that have got us to this place right now. And I just want to mention, we've also got people in this room who are the prophets. We've got Richard, we've got Gemma Mason, Dave Webb, Rosemary, Jane. Now, I'm only mentioning their names because they're the ones that popped into my head first. But I wanted to kind of get across to you that this isn't something kind of theoretical in the Bible. I mean, it is in the Bible, but this is something that we're actually doing right now. We are actually starting to grow in this fivefold ministry. We're doing it, and we should be really, really pleased that we're starting to create this culture that God has prepared for us and prepared for his church so that we grow healthily. And there are loads of other people who are prophetic and have had very encouraging prophetic words. And we are encouraging everyone, more people, to step out in the prophetic. And then we've got the teachers. We've got Bob, Andy, Richard, both Daves, Dave Barnsley, Dave Dunham, Lisa. Then we've got pastors, Richard, Jacqueline, Jean, Trevor, Angie and Ron, Lisa, and evangelists, Luana, Kev, Sheila. And I just want to stress, I'm not mentioning these names because they are like the only people who can do this. I want to encourage people to say they were the names that God gave me when I said, who do you think are our pastors? Who are our prophets, etc.? And this is who we are. We're living this and we're doing this. So be encouraged. So in summary, Jesus gave us these roles to build up the church, not just to give a few people special privileges, but to build us up and equip us all. We want to become strong and rooted in our faith, sure of what we believe and growing in the knowledge of God. Then we won't be confused by the teachings of the world or what other people say to us. Let's be a church that grows well, bearing with each other because we understand our different strengths are there to build us up to the fullness and maturity in love for Christ and in love for one another.
I think what I'd like us to do in just receiving this is I'd like us to stand because, you know, as a body of Christ, we're each one of us one of those coffee beans. And it's very easy to hear what Liz has just said and then discount that the part that we have to play has any value. But actually, as we've just seen, you know, without every bean getting into the funnel, into the grinder, and putting a bean put into the bags, etc., and then making the coffee, there is no aroma, there is no taste. And actually, we want to be a people that are full of the aroma of Christ and can bring something to our town, our city, our nation, because we carry Christ. So I found that really helpful. And I just want to pray for us now. You know, I want to ask, Father God, that there is no one here this morning that doesn't feel that they're a part. They're a part of the body that can contribute. That, Father, they don't discount themselves as being a pastor or a teacher or whatever. That, Father God, you have a calling and a destiny for every single person here. And I want to pray that, Father, in the next weeks, days, months, that, Father, you would begin to just percolate in us that which you have laid on our hearts. That, Father, there are things in each one of us that you have given us. And you know what? It's because of your love for us. You love us so much that you have given us the ability to be able to draw on you. And out of that love, we're able to be the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists, whatever you've called us to be. And I pray, Father God, that there will be no lie that anyone here today is listening to that discounts them from being able to fulfill the purposes of God in their life. So Father, we just thank you that we are a church on the move. We are a people on the move. And that Father, you have giftings and callings for each one of us. And it comes out of your great love for us. Amen.